Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Over the last decade, the world has witnessed dramatic challenges. From 9/11 to the rise of non-state actors, global pandemics, and a financial crisis that spanned the globe. Facing these challenges successfully rests on a new paradigm of engagement, placing proper emphasis on partnerships. With us today to discuss her efforts in this area is our very special guest, Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative, the Global Partnership Initiative at the U.S. Department of State. Ambassador, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bonnie Glick. Bonnie, welcome.
Thank you.
Ambassador, what is the Global Partnership Initiative? And perhaps you could outline the underlying strategic vision that frames that effort.
Sure. The Global Partnership Initiative was established by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. It's the first office that has been established to deal directly with public-private partnerships. She actually launched the office on April 22, 2009 at the Global Philanthropy Forum, which was held in Washington at that time, and talked about the need for developing relationships and partnerships with not only within the State Department and outside the State Department, but with our international institutions, with the UN, with businesses, philanthropies, faith-based organizations, diasporas, basically everything in the world. Global is the key word here, and it is really an effort to extend the reach of the State Department and to extend our influence and make our foreign policy more sustainable on the ground.
So could you tell us a little bit about your unique position in the department? What is your roles and responsibilities?
Well, it is unique because it's new. It never happened before, so we're really creating it as we go along, which has its good points and its bad points. The good points are that we can use a lot of creativity, and we are directly under the Secretary of State. So that allows us not only influence within the department, but direct access to the Secretary, which is very helpful on many things that we want to have done. And she's a huge advocate of this office. So that's the good news. The challenge is to make the office known throughout the department and really to change the culture of the department. So I have spent great majority of my time working within the State Department, working with regional bureaus, functional bureaus, talking to assistant secretaries, undersecretaries, making my presence known and our office known, and also asking for their advice, volunteering to work with them on every issue. We've met with, for example, the assistant secretary for Africa, who's an old friend of mine. I have the advantage of having been at State other reincarnations, so I know a lot of the Foreign Service officers who are now assistant secretaries and undersecretaries. So I've basically gone to them and said, this is our office. This is what I'm doing. What would you like to work on? What public-private partnerships do you have or would you be interested in creating? And I also have spoken to the ambassadorial seminars, which I know well because I, having been at an ambassadorial seminar when I was in 1994 when I came in to U.S. Ambassador to Portugal. So I've addressed them and told them about our office, and I've gotten really from all sectors very positive response and very excited response from our ambassadors, from our assistant secretaries. Going back to Africa, I just had a meeting with Johnny Carson, who's our assistant secretary for Africa, and asking him about diasporas. We're going to do a diaspora conference to really harness the energy of the diaspora communities towards their homeland, beginning in Haiti, which, of course, is one of our top priorities. But for Africa, I asked him what would be the key constituencies in on the continent. We can't do all of them, but we will at some point address all the major African diasporas. And he suggested, of course, Nigeria being the biggest, Ghanaian, Kenyan. It's a huge diaspora that I never knew, of course, until I went to Kenya and realized that the Liberian has a huge diaspora. Liberia has a major diaspora. So we're going to be working with them and with other diasporas, you know, in the Congo and other places. So we'll take the priorities of the department or the specific areas or regions of the world and work with the assistant secretaries on ways in which we could advance the secretary's vision and the president's agenda.
As you noted, you're a seasoned diplomat. You've served two U.S. presidents in significant roles. Would you mind describing a little bit about your career path for our listeners? How did you begin your career and what brought you to your current role?
Oh God, it goes back a long time. I started my career in Boston working for Ted Kennedy and moved to Washington to work in his Washington office. It was there a few months when they asked me to detail over to the State Department because I spoke Spanish. I majored in French and Spanish in college, and they wanted someone who spoke Spanish. I don't know why they couldn't find anyone else at State, but they asked me to come over. They wanted a political person to work on the Panama Canal treaties. So I went over to H, the Office of H. It's still called H. I guess it means Hill, but it's the Congressional Relations Office at State Department, and I worked there as a congressional management officer at the ripe old age of 22 and worked on the Panama Canal treaties. And then started from there with Saul Linowitz, who was also one of the ambassadors who had negotiated the Panama Canal treaties. We got them done on the, you know, passed on the Senate side. Then we had to get them implementing legislation passed on the House side. And then came the Camp David Accords. And Ambassador Linowitz asked me to serve as his special assistant to go to Israel and Egypt to negotiate on the Palestinian autonomy talks. So I did that and then went on to various things as a young person who has no ties or very flexible. So I went, did a lot of things during that point in time. Ended up at in Madrid at CSCE, Council on Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is now called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE. Then went to law school at Georgetown in the interim when President Carter was defeated. So I moved out, having been a Democratic political appointee, worked for other organizations, NGOs, and went to law school and then came back to the State Department under President Clinton as the U.S. ambassador to Portugal, then went on with Madeleine Albright, whom I knew for years ago in the Carter administration when she was at NSC, asked me to start a startup office called Media Programming for the Balkans, where we actually asked companies, NBA, and a number of movie companies and television companies to supply media programming to build up a radio station, actually, in the Balkans. So I did that. And then when we left, I went back and worked for a law firm and always involved in politics. So I think politics kind of permeated politics and diplomacy actually do go hand in hand.
Well, given your wealth of experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected and networked world? And do you think that because of that, we are looking at a new conception of leadership?
Yes, and I think certainly the first qualification of a leader is to listen, is to understand not only what the staff, the troops, and in whatever position you're in, what they need and what their capabilities are, but especially in an interconnected world, we really have to respond to each other and understand what the ramifications of our actions and our vision are. I think Hillary Clinton is a really great example of a leader who inspires, but also understands, you know, the limits of what she can do and understands that it's important to reach out and to connect and to engage other leaders, other people, and inspire her staff as well. So I think she does that on a lot of levels.
How is the U.S. Department of State leveraging private-public partnerships? We will ask Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative at the Global Partnership Initiative within the U.S. Department of State, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.